We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning. It is November 27th. Thanksgiving weekend is officially in the books. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving at the Shreve house as we had all the girls and all the grandkids together for Thanksgiving Day. And it was a fun time. Our grandkids are just so fun together. So we have two little girls, 13 and 8. I say little girls, 13 and 8. Emmy and Lyndon, and then we have two little boys, and they are definitely little. Jack is almost 2.5, and then Chase is 9 months old, and so the granddaughters were great with the grandsons, and we just had a wonderful time. But Christmas or Thanksgiving is officially, as a national holiday, it's officially over, and now all the sights are set on Christmas. As Bing Crosby likes to sing,
it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
I love that song. I love the sights and sounds and smells and spirit of Christmas, and really at First Baptist Texarkana, we're decorating this week. So December 3rd, Sunday, December 3rd, we're going to hit the ground running. I have a brand new sermon series that we're going to do about the three gifts of the Magi to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're calling it the gifts of Christmas. We have a big Christmas concert on Friday, December 1st with Zach Williams. And so lots of exciting things taking place at our church and at many churches, because it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Now, here's the question. Should Christians celebrate Christmas? Now, you've heard the argument. This has raged for centuries, that it's wrong for Christians to celebrate Christmas. They say, well, Christmas has pagan roots. The day has pagan roots. And that's true. It does. They will say, those that don't like the idea of celebrating Christmas, they'll say, well, you know, the Bible forbids having a tree in your house, cutting down a tree and putting a tree in your house and decorating that tree. And they point to passages in Jeremiah chapter 10 or Isaiah chapter 44 and say, see, it says in black print on white paper, you're not supposed to do that. But those passages in Jeremiah and Isaiah talk about taking a tree, cutting down a tree, and decorating that tree to become an idol and then worshiping that. That's different than putting up a Christmas tree in your house, in my opinion. And so anyway, some people will get off on that. And other people will say, well, you know, it's on the other side, they'll say, well, you know, the Bible tells us about the birth of Jesus. It doesn't tell us that we're supposed to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We have no indication that the early early church celebrated the birth of Jesus, although we have the story of the birth of Jesus. Luke tells the story, Matthew tells the story from the angle of the fact that Jesus is the king. He's Israel's king, and so he's the only one, Matthew, who tells about the magi, the wise men from the east who come to Jerusalem. And where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And so we have that story. Luke 2 tells us about the birth of Jesus, how they laid him in a manger, how the angel appeared to the shepherds and said, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." So we have these accounts. Now, Mark doesn't tell us about the account of the birth of Jesus. John's gospel, he goes all the way back to the fact that Jesus was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He blows to the very beginning from eternity past. And John's gospel begins much like Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so John is showing us that Jesus is the eternal God, and Matthew is showing us that Jesus is the rightful king of Israel. Mark is showing us that Jesus is the suffering servant, so doesn't have any genealogy in there. Why would you have genealogy for a servant? And Luke is showing us that Jesus is the Son of Man, so he takes his genealogy all the way back to Adam. And so a different emphasis and different focus, but the Bible does tell us in the gospel accounts about the birth of Jesus. So here's the thing. Here's where I fall on the question of, should Christians celebrate Christmas? And I know there are definitely some people listening to me today who have strong opinions that we should not do that because of the pagan roots of the day and that kind of thing. But I think that it is something that we can capitalize on as believers, especially as churches, because there is an openness to the person of Jesus, to the gospel, to the true gospel of Jesus at Christmas time that you don't find any other time of the year. People are thinking about Christmas. The world, they may celebrate it for different reasons, but the world recognizes Christmas. So I think it would be a wasted opportunity for Christians and for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to not capitalize on that, to lift up the name of Jesus. As the old expression goes, Jesus is the reason for the season. And we can tell people who don't understand what Christmas is all about, we can tell them, hey, this is what it's all about. It's good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. Not just for the Jews, but for everyone. As the gospel goes out, you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Jews, Judea, Jews, but it's moving out, Samaria, Jewish half-breeds, Samaritans, we're half Jew, half Gentile, and the remotest parts of the earth, the Gentile world. And that's how the gospel goes out in the book of Acts, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, and then Acts chapter 10, to Cornelius, to the Gentile world, and it spreads from there. And so it's a great opportunity, I believe, to make an impact in our community and beyond as we capitalize on the fact that people are thinking along the lines of Christmas, and we can tell them the truth. Now, there is no legitimate scriptural reason not to celebrate Christmas. No legitimate scriptural reason. You can't tell someone it is wrong to celebrate the birth of Christ. And likewise, there's no biblical mandate to celebrate Christmas. So it becomes a personal decision. It becomes a Romans chapter 14 situation. What is Romans 14? Well, Romans 14 deals with gray areas, deals with things that are kind of neither good nor bad. They're just in that gray area. Now, I'm a very black and white kind of person, but there are things that the Bible indicates are gray areas, and I think you could put celebrating Christmas under this one. This is what Paul says. Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Getting back into the meat sacrifice to idols. It's the strong believer that says an idol is nothing and this is a good price for meat and this makes sense for me to buy this meat and to eat this meat. And the person weak in faith says, no, you don't understand that the idol, that's terrible. You can't eat that meat. It's wrong for you to eat that meat. And so the Bible recognizes that. The person who has faith, one person has faith that he may eat all things, but the one who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Now watch this. Romans 14, verse 5. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, if you think it's wrong to celebrate Christmas, then it's wrong for you to celebrate Christmas. For it goes on to say in verse 22 of Romans 14, the faith which you have as your own conviction before God, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. If you feel in your heart this is wrong, even though it's a gray area, but you feel this is wrong, then it's wrong for you, and you need to not do it. Take dancing, for instance. Now, dancing, depending on where you go for that, that can lead you into trouble. So you got to be careful. But dancing itself, if I dance with my wife in my living room, is that wrong? Well, of course not. But for some people, they were told, they grew up, dancing's wrong, dancing's wrong, dancing's wrong. And so they can't get past that. Well, if you're like that, then don't do it. Playing cards is wrong. Going to the movies is wrong. Certain things, I don't think any of those things are wrong. They can become wrong if you take those to an extreme, but eating is a good thing. Eating can become sin if you turn into a glutton. So you got to watch those things. But here's the deal. If you think it's wrong and you think it's wrong for you, then don't do it. But don't judge someone else who does do it, because to his own master he stands or falls. And we have to give room and we have to give space for people to express their faith and their conviction before God in a way that doesn't violate their conscience. Now, I say all that to say I think churches would miss out on a huge opportunity if they bypass Christmas. And I think it makes sense to celebrate. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us when Jesus was born, the exact date of when Jesus was born. We know he was born, in the year. We don't even know the exact year. We know it had to be before Herod died. And Herod died, according to history, he died in 4 BC. So Jesus had to be born before the death of Herod, because we know Herod plays into the story in Matthew chapter 2. And so sometime in there, 4 to 5 BC, Jesus was born. He was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. We can calculate, and Dr. Harold Honer has done a great job, the chronological aspects in the life of Christ, done a great job pinpointing when Jesus was crucified, and people have different theories and different opinions on the exact date. He comes up with April 3rd, 33 AD, and I think he makes a great case for that. The Bible tells us Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry, so that doesn't mean he was exactly 30. But he was about 30 years old, and so he died when he was about 33, 34 years old. And so we can know the day of his death much better than we can know the day of his birth. But we choose, as a society, we have chosen December 25th to celebrate the birth of the Savior. Good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, Bethlehem, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're talking about Christmas. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. When we come back, we're going to talk about, should a Christian parent talk to their child about Santa Claus? According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
That's Bing Crosby singing, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, and that's our discussion today on Real Truth for Today, talking about Christmas, and hey, should Christians celebrate Christmas? Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it one of those things that we're free to do or not do? And how about this question? What should Christian parents tell their children about Santa Claus? Now, that's another one of those questions that can elicit a lot of response, and some people are very, very strong, you know, strongly, no, you don't teach your kids about Santa Claus because you're teaching your kids a lie, and when you tell them about God, they may think, well, if Santa Claus was a lie, maybe God's a lie. And so I've had some good friends over the years who just said, no, we're not going to tell our kids that because that's a lie. Others have said, hey, it's like Elf on the Shelf. It's just all in good fun, and we do that with the kids. They get excited about it, and it's not this deep theological discussion we're having with our children. It's just something that is fun for them at Christmas time, and a website. I've told you about this website before, but it is a great website. I have not found anything on it that I say, oh, that's just way off base. It's called gotquestions.org, and they pose questions, and then they answer the questions. And so this is the question they posed. What should parents tell their children about Santa Claus? And this is what it says. Although Santa Claus is a mythical figure, his creation is based in part on a great Christian man named Saint Nicholas of Myra, who lived in the 4th century. He was born to Christian parents who left him an inheritance when they died, which he distributed to the poor. He became a priest at a young age and was well known for his compassion and generosity. He had a reputation for giving gifts anonymously, and he would throw bags of money into people's homes and sometimes down their chimneys under the cover of night to avoid being spotted. Now, he passed away on December 6th, sometime around 350 A.D., and the day of his death became an annual feast in which children would put out food for Nicholas and straw for his donkey. It was said that the saint would come down from heaven during the night and replace the offerings with toys and treats, but only for the good boys and girls. Now, there are many different versions of the legend of Saint Nicholas, but all are the inspiration for the jolly red-suited gift giver that we know as Santa Claus. And it goes on to say, you know, Christian parents can be torn. Do we play the Santa game or do we not? I got hammered one Christmas time at church because I wasn't thinking through. My kids were older. This was probably 10 years ago. My kids were older, so, you know, the Santa game, we weren't playing that anymore. And so I said something in a sermon that revealed that Santa wasn't real. And some of the parents are like, hey, we play that game with our kids, and you kind of spoiled it for us. And so I did what any good pastor would do. I blamed it on the associate pastor. But no, I didn't really do that. Anyway, so parents need to use their own judgment on whether or not to include Santa during the holidays. It is another Romans 14 thing, I think. Now, you can say, well, Jeff, you're advocating lying to your children. Well, I kind of think about it like this. You know, if you're throwing a surprise birthday party for somebody and they ask you, hey, are you doing anything for my birthday? Are you supposed to say, yeah, we're throwing you a surprise birthday party, so act surprised? Is it a lie to say, you know, that we hadn't even thought about that? You know, you could technically say that's a lie, but that's one of those things that, you know, you can kind of make the case one way or the other. And I just think that personally, this is my personal view, I think that it's one of those things that you can use in your family to have fun until your kids are old enough to understand. And so anyway, another one of those things that people can have strong opinions about. But here's the thing, as I said at the first segment, Christmas is a time that Christians can capitalize on to talk to people about Jesus, about the reason for the season. And at First Baptist Texarkana, we have lots of hooks in the water to get people to come to church and to get our members to invite people to come to church so that they can hear the truth about Jesus, so they can hear the good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. You know, as Peter said when he preached on the day of Pentecost, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And so the invitation goes out, and Christmas is a great time for us to invite people to church, to invite people to special events. We do an outdoor movie night we're having it on December 10th, Sunday night, December 10th, and we have hot chocolate and popcorn and wassail and candy, and we invite families to come and bring their kids, and we show a cartoon movie about the Christmas story, and we make it fun. And I have a big screen outside, and if it's raining, you know, that could happen, but then we'd move it into the gym. But anyway, we just want to make it fun, and fun for families, because especially families with little kids, you know, Christmas is such a fun, exciting time. You're out of school, and you get all these presents, and it's family time, and it's food, and it's festive, and it's just a wonderful time of the year. As the song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And so we look to capitalize on that. And so let me just encourage you, because you've heard me say over and over and over and over again on this program, we have to always remind ourselves as Christians, what is our job on the earth? Our only job, you just boil it down, our only job for being on this earth is to witness to lost people about Jesus. We witness with our life. That's our shine. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We witness with our life. We witness with our lips. That's our sharing. That's our opening our mouth, our telling people what great things the Lord has done for us and how he's had mercy on us. And we tell about his grace and how the Lord has changed our lives from the inside out, and what he's done in us, he can do for them. As one person described evangelism, it's just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And so we have an opportunity to do that. And so I just want to encourage you this Christmas season that we're in to do that. Get some tracts, put them in your pocket, and pass those out when you're at the restaurant, when you go to the cleaners, when you're at the grocery store. Tell people about Jesus. If you have good things going on at your church, invite them to come to church with you, special things for the Christmas season, and look for opportunities to lift up the name of Jesus. As the Christmas song says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And so what a great opportunity. Well, I would love to hear from you, to know what you're doing in your family. What are your Christmas traditions? What are the things that maybe you did when your kids were little to make it special for them? Or what are the things that you are doing now to make it special? You know, Christmas changes as your children get older. And so we have all our kids are grown and gone, and we have grandkids. And so, my middle daughter lives in the Woodlands, and so she has the two boys, Jack and Chase. And so it's hard for her to drive to Texarkana. And she said, well, you know, Mom and Dad, we want to start establishing our own Christmas traditions with our own family and having our kids on Christmas morning open presents and that kind of thing. And we get that. Our two granddaughters, Jill and Jay's two daughters, Emmy and Lyndon, well, they live in Texarkana, so it's easy for them to have their own Christmas and then come to our house on Christmas morning and have Christmas with us. And so it changes some, but I'd love to hear about your Christmas traditions. So give me a call, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And if you have a strong opinion about celebrating Christmas or not celebrating Christmas, about Santa Claus or not Santa Claus for your kids, love to hear about that too. You know, just as I read from Romans 14, we're not to judge one another on those gray issues. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. And so who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So we have to have freedom in the Christian life in those gray areas to say, okay, that's your conviction, more power to you. This is my conviction, more power to me. And we give each other the right hand of fellowship, and we just agree to disagree on a gray area, and that's okay. Now, the other things in the Bible that are not gray, I mean, we stand on the Word of God. There are people that want to make everything gray, and the Bible is not a book of gray. It's a book of very black and white, and with a few issues of gray that we have to give room for brothers and sisters in the Lord to disagree. So I do want to say this also, and the phone lines are open so you can call in, but what do you see today? You see that the devil wants to hijack Christmas. So I saw in the news today that in the National Railroad Museum in Wisconsin, they were having a Christmas tree display. And the Satanic Temple took advantage of that open invitation to have a satanic Hail Santa, a takeoff of Hail Satan, Christmas tree displayed. And they adorned the tree with red lights and beads and pentagrams, and had ornaments that said Hail Santa. Just sickening. And then you had another gender diversity tree, pink and blue, with ornaments that said protect trans kids. And so you're always going to have the devil that wants to infiltrate. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 10, as Paul dealt with Elymas the magician, he said, "You son of the devil, you always want to make crooked and work to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And so the devil will try and infiltrate something that is special for the Lord, the birth of Jesus. He wants to inject his poison, inject his sewage to try and derail it and hijack it, just like the devil has done with the rainbow. You know, the rainbow now is the symbol of evil in the LGBTQIA plus community, if you use that word, but they've hijacked the rainbow. Hey, the rainbow is God's promise that he put in the sky that he will not destroy the world with a flood. It reminds us that God does judge sin because it's connected to the flood, and God will not judge the world again with water. He's going to judge it the next time with fire. And so with the rainbow, we remember the mercy of God, but we also remember the justice of God. And for people to wrap themselves in a rainbow flag, they're really missing the boat, because the Lord, that rainbow reminds them that God is holy, 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 and he will judge sin. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have Norman on the line from Texas. Norman, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. How are you doing today, Pastor Jeff?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing this fantastic. Well, I have a question for you. What was the greatest gift that God ever gave to mankind?
This is a question, or you want to tell us?
Well, Jesus was our greatest gift.
Sure.
And it became, when he rose up from the grave, it became our greatest treasure. Uh-huh. And you know, when the angels stood before the shepherds out in the field and told them about the baby Jesus and told them to go see, you know, and they went to see this great phenomenon, they celebrated afterwards. And when the wise men got there and gave their gifts, they celebrated too right there before. Why did they bring the gifts to the baby Jesus if we were not supposed to celebrate his birth?
Yeah, that's a good question.
But Jesus is our greatest treasure. If you always think about it, he is always with us and he will always be there for us. And our greatest gift that God ever gave to us is Jesus.
Amen.
Because we would not have this everlasting life if it was not for this gift.
For sure. Yeah, Jesus, you know, the expression is so true. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's all about Jesus. And so we do celebrate his birth because I think that the Bible is clear that heaven celebrated his birth, where you had all the angels that appeared to the shepherds. It was first one angel, good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. But then a host of heavenly angels said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And so I think that you're exactly right, Norman. We can definitely make the case with the wise men seeking the Lord, with the shepherds coming, with the angels, that Christmas is something, the birth of Jesus is something to be celebrated. But we can also make the case that there is not a mandate in Scripture that says you have to do this. So I think that we follow in the footsteps of the wise men. We seek him, and we worship him, and we bring our best to him, because he is worthy, worthy, worthy. He's King of the Jews. He's King of the world. So thank you for calling in, Norman. God bless you, my brother. It's a good word. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we have the phone lines open. We're up against a break, but when we come back, we'll talk to Linda from Mississippi, and we'll talk to others. And so we'd love for you to call in, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you about how you celebrate Christmas, or if you don't, why you don't. And we know that's a personal decision, but we would love to hear from you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be back after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again. with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. That's been our theme for today, and we're opening the phone lines 888-589-8840 to hear about your Christmas traditions and what has been special to you and to your family. And we have first-time caller Linda on the line from Mississippi. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. It's so good to finally get to speak to you. You knew me when you were in the Mark Lanier's class.
Oh, wow.
And I know, that's how far back that was. And then we moved from there to Trinity, Texas. But my son is now grown. I have a granddaughter that's 11 years old, and I don't get to see her. So my husband and I have always gone to the late service wherever we're at. And this year we're going to be going to Rockport, Texas. We'll be there on the 21st of December. We've got an RV, and we're going to be celebrating with the other RVers. What they normally do is that they'll have a meal, and my husband and I will go to First Baptist Church there in Rockport. And then we'll come back, and they'll have a gift exchange, which we'll participate in. When we go out with the RVers, we always plan on meeting the other RVers. But remember that the main reason is that Jesus is in control of all of our lives. So we really enjoy meeting everybody.
Amen. Well, that's good, Linda. I'm glad you do that.
Well, and, thank you.
Yeah.
You were never at Fellowship of the Woodlands, were you?
On staff there? No.
No.
Okay. I've been
We've
there.
Also been to the Fellowship of the Woodlands. And I don't know if you've ever been to their service, but they always have they have several services at the Fellowship of the Woodlands.
Yeah.
So we used to participate in one of them, but now since February, we've moved to Purvis, Mississippi, and we've really enjoyed listening to American Family Radio Station. I didn't think I would ever find such a radio station that I have really enjoyed listening, and it's such a pleasure to run into you again. So
yeah.
You know how far back that's been.
That's been wonderful. Well, thank you for calling, and God bless you, and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. Tell your husband I said hello, and God bless you guys. Well, we have Teresa on the line from Arkansas, first-time caller. And so, Teresa, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. I love your speaking. It's really great. I love your messages.
Thank you.
And I'm new to Arkansas, only 2 years. So uh-huh. I'm from Hudson Valley, New York, which is about 80 miles from New York City. Anyway, I was going to mention about, okay, the tradition. We do a Polish dinner, which now we don't really do it anymore. My father's in a nursing home, and my mother's not into it. But it was fish and pierogies. We start off with a cabbage soup. And like a boiled potato, which I hate, but I love the pierogies. It's so great. It's just nice. And then, before that, we take these, they were Catholic at the time, but they're not now, but they take these like almost like a communion disc. They're actually come in squares or rectangles, and you take off a piece, and the other person takes a piece of yours, and you take a piece of theirs, and it's like, I'm not sure exactly. It's like just being together, and celebrating family and everything, and Christmas. So it's really nice. And then we always did that on Christmas Eve, which is really cool. The other comment I just wanted to make is just about the Christmas thing. I heard some kids, when they said that they didn't believe their parents would tell them the truth about anything. So it's really tricky, about that. I wouldn't go blabbing it to people or anything, saying their children, there's no Santa, but the problem is sometimes some kids take it really bad. My mm-hmm. son was 5 when I told him the real thing. Is I wasn't even going to tell him about Santa, but my in-laws did. So, and he told me later he was disappointed. But, I just feel like, the truth. I mean, it is fun. I had fun. I never got mad at my parents. So, I know it's a little just weird. You have to figure out and ask God how your children, what to do. But
right.
That's all I have to say. But
yeah.
You have a great day.
Hey, I'd thanks, like, Teresa.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Bye.
God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Well, I do think, yeah, you have to be careful. And James 1:5 is a great verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so, you know, we say, Lord, how do you want us to handle this? And we just follow the leading of the Lord. And so I think to comment on this, we have Greg from Tennessee to see how he did his family. And so, Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Shreve. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, we caught my dad putting deer tracks in the yard. We had a dirt driveway. And needless to say, it broke my heart because, among many other times, I caught my dad lying to me. And I made up my mind then that I wouldn't tell my kids about Santa and that he was real, but I had to explain who Santa was. I mean, he's real in the sense that he's everywhere, in front of Walmarts and everywhere, ringing bells, and, you know, there is a presence of St. Nicholas. But I told my kids that he was someone who helped celebrate Jesus' birthday. And you know, explain to them, you know, St. Nicholas, told them the history of it and let them know. And as my kids got older, they actually thanked me that, you know, Dad, thank you for telling us the truth and not deceiving us.
Right.
But anyway, we were going out to eat one night in Daytona Beach, Florida. And we got out of the car going into the restaurant. My kids were talking about Santa. And I said, well, you know, Santa doesn't bring you anything. And I didn't realize there was a Santa, must have been within earshot, trying to help people. We go in and sit down in the restaurant to eat our dinner, and all of a sudden Santa comes up beside me. And I have 5 kids, you know, so people would assume it must be a lot of money at Christmas. But anyway, Santa reaches out and shakes my hand, and he's got a handful of cash. And he says, here, maybe this will help. I heard Santa wasn't. I said, sir, you don't understand. We teach our kids that Santa ain't real. I says, give this to somebody that needs it. My stepfather says, what do you want? What do you want? I said, well, he's trying to give me money for Christmas. He said, you didn't take it?
Yeah.
But we just taught him the truth. You know, we taught him the truth. And,
yeah.
You know, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I mean, I think that's great, Greg. And I think mentioning that Santa is part of the Christmas, the legend of Christmas, you know, he comes from St. Nicholas, but whatever, but it all points to Jesus. I think that is great how you did that with your kids, and you didn't lie to them, but you let them know that, hey, you're going to see a lot of Santa Clauses, and this is what this is for. And I think you can make the case that, you know, the devil wants to insert Santa Claus and get people's eyes off Jesus, and so everything is about Santa Claus when it needs to all be about Jesus. So hats off to you, Greg. I think that's a great way to do it with our kids, and I'm glad the way you did it with your kids. So thanks for calling in today. We have Kayla on the line from Texas. Kayla, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you. Kayla Crenshaw from Champion Forest.
Hey.
So, hey,
great
there
to hear from you.
So,
yeah.
Good to hear from you. Merry Christmas, dear. Mama went home to Jesus August the 23rd. She won her battle with dementia, praise Jesus. So this year, you know, I've got a lot of family members that are not saved, and so they're not serving the Lord. And, you know, we for years and years and years, our tradition was always going to Mom's house, and she would read the Christmas story, of course, before we let any of the kids open the gifts. And, of course, it was always a fight. You know, oh, my gosh, roll the eyes. Yeah. For years, you're right. But everybody would eventually settle in, you know, and Mom would be in her chair with her Bible, and we would let her read the story of Jesus being born in Bethlehem in the manger. And then, you know, everybody would, we'd start opening the gifts. What hit me last night, I'm going to have to be that one sitting in Mom's chair this year. So it could be pretty hard, you know, because I haven't really felt like I've grieved her yet because, you know, it's still new. And I think with grief, you go through a period of denial for a while. But it hit me last night, you know, I'm going to be the one sitting in that chair with Mom's Bible and trying to get everybody's attention. Now, everybody's grown now, but we have new people in the family, like my niece's boyfriend and my nephew's girlfriend who do not know the Lord. So I kind of think, okay, here we go, Mom. You know, and when Mom was dying in her little facility she was in, she was very worried about her family. And I promised her, in the name of Jesus, we prayed with hands held up, that I would make sure to carry on her legacy so that our family would get saved. So that's the tradition we're going to continue to carry on, making sure that Jesus is definitely right there first and foremost. Now, look, Santa Claus is all cute and everything. I don't think I used to kind of go back and forth with that. But now I'm kind of like, I like what that man said before about how, you know, he helps celebrate Jesus' birthday. Right. I think that's a cute way to teach children. So anyway, that's all I have. I just wanted to just share that. Merry Christmas to everybody. And well, that's all I have. Everybody have a blessed day and Christmas. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you, Kayla. Thank you for calling in. And I'll be lifting you up as you share the Christmas story and you fill that gap that your mom left behind. And I'm so glad that she is not dealing with that anymore, that she's with the Lord, and her mind is more healthy than it's ever been before. And she is with all the saints of all the ages worshiping the Lord Jesus. So thank you for calling in, Kayla. You've always been a blessing to me, and so I appreciate that. Well, we have Pat on the line from Texas. Pat, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been listening to you for a while, and I consider you to be one of the good shepherds.
Thank you.
And I'm enjoying people talking about how they celebrate with their family. It's been very interesting. But my comment is not about that. I want to go back to the scripture that you used earlier in the program, and that was concerning the tree that people would cut down and bring into their home and decorate it with gold and silver. Mm-hmm. Could it possibly have anything to do with the idols that people were using the wood to make idols? Because those verses are surrounding that part of the scripture. So
right.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I do think the Jeremiah passage, Jeremiah 10 and then Isaiah 44, they deal with decorating trees that you're going to turn into idols. And it says in Jeremiah 10:8, but they are altogether stupid and foolish in their discipline of delusion. Their idol is wood. And so, yeah, it speaks of idolatry. And so I think the idea of bringing in whether it's a live tree or artificial tree and decorating that, and that's our Christmas tree, that's not what the scripture was talking about. It was talking about idolatry, and idolatry is a serious sin. It's in the Big Ten. You're not to have idols. You worship one God and no idol worship. And so I think you're exactly right, Pat. I think that's talking about idolatry.
Glad that we're on the same page with that. You know, we can make the Bible say anything that we would want it to say by taking the scriptures out of context.
Right.
And we need to be very careful in that and how we read it and how we pass it on to others. Because God's going to hold us accountable in how we treat His word. We need to treat it with utmost respect. And so early on in my Christian walk, I did have a minister in my life that's what he would say, that it was the Christmas tree. But as I've grown in the Lord and paid more attention to those scriptures surrounding each other, that it was, to me, it was not the Christmas tree at all.
Right.
So that too has its history, doesn't it? So interesting, the things, how it's evolved through the years. Well,
right.
I don't want to take up too much time. This is my first time to call, and I do appreciate.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Yes. I like I said, I listen to you often, and I wouldn't continue to listen to you if I didn't feel that you were a good shepherd. So I do appreciate
you.
It. And also, those times
that.
Your wife's on.
Yeah, she's great. Well, God bless you. Thank you.
Blessings. Yes.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We have just another minute. Colleen from Ohio. Colleen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was telling your call screener, I grew up in Australia, so our seasons are exactly the opposite. Christmas time is in the summer, and down under, we called him Father Christmas, not Santa Claus. But as a child, growing up nominally Catholic, it was very confusing for me to see a Christmas parade and seeing Father Christmas come on a winter sleigh. And we're dressed in shorts and t-shirts and it's hot. So anyway, when I moved here to the United States, and as a young adult, newly married, became a believer in Jesus Christ. And when we had our children, my husband and I resolved not to call or celebrate Santa Claus / Father Christmas, because as a child, I found it confusing. Same too with the Easter Bunny at Easter time. Seasons are opposite, and it was very confusing. Amen. So we raised our children to, for Christmas, that Christmas was a celebration of Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's very good. Colleen, we're out of time, but thank you for sharing. And thank you for listening today. Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.